Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. What a day of soccer right across the board. Later on in the show, Alessandro Del Piero, Gab Marcotti here to react to the news that apparently Cristiano Ronaldo said he didn't want to start in Juventus' opener against Udinese. Also here, Frank Leboeuf to talk about Lukaku's dream return to Chelsea and the nightmare that continues for Arsenal. There's only one place in there, boys, to start today. What a game in La Liga. Levante taking on Real Madrid. This had pretty much everything, including what we all love, a player going in goal. We'll start though, 5 minutes into this one. Real Madrid in control. Good work from Benzema, who sets up Gareth Bale.
Yeah, nice ball by Alaba down the line to pick up Benzema, who does well just to check back and wait on the late arrival of Gareth Bale.
Nice ball across. We weren't sure whether or not Benzema was onside. Obviously, he was.
It's a tidy finish from Bale, and you thought this is Real Madrid finding it very easy.
Isco starting ahead of Modric because he was injured. The opportunity here, spits it over the bar.
Maybe there's a better option with Alaba down the right-hand side, but feeling a little bit of confidence with Isco, tries to chip the goalkeeper. Ancelotti not so excited about it.
Levante offered nothing in the first half. I tell you what, the second, very much a different story. Just 25 seconds after the break, they would get the equaliser. Nicely done here from Marti.
I mean, it's just 30 seconds into the second half and Real Madrid only have themselves to blame. Nobody tracks runners, huge holes left. And then Marti just allowed to gallop in. Courtois gets a hand to it, but not enough to keep it up.
10 minutes later, Levante take the lead, and in some style. What a strike this is from Campagna.
It's a beautiful ball from the right-hand side. The finish by Campagna is simply elite, it's next level. The marking from Real Madrid, well, it's optional at best. It's 3v2 at the back post somehow. Campagna completely, absolutely wide open, but then that volley is just perfectly executed. You cannot hit a volley any better than that.
Bale would be hooked. Hazard hooked as well. Vinicius Jr. comes on. What a substitution that would prove to be. But what an assist this is from Casemiro to set up the Brazilian.
Everything about this goal was special. From Carvajal and how he worked his way out of the corner. Ball into Casemiro. The pass from Casemiro is inch perfect. All along the floor, 40 yards away. And then Vinicius Jr. still a lot of work to do. And the finish, again, special. Look at that from Casemiro. And then Vinicius, this little dumb with the right, and then just to slot it by the keeper with the left. What a finish.
So 2-2 then, 12 minutes to go. Ball played into the box. Oh, what an assist from Alaba.
Obviously, he doesn't see the flight of the ball, misjudges it or something. I don't know what's going on with Alaba. Doesn't see it, comes off his face, onto Robert, who says, from my kind of range, 3-2.
So 3-2, take a look at the clock here. This is just moments after that, and what an opportunity for Cantero.
Cantero had come off the bench, and this is a great chance. Just the pace to get on the end of it, but not the cool to finish.
Here, Jovic wants a penalty for this challenge. He'd come on as a second half substitute.
Nope.
No. No.
Are you giving a shack?
No. I'm not giving it.
It would be a frantic end to this game. A great chance for Madrid. Oh, good save by Eto'o Fernandez. But then, moments later, he would be beaten. And you know what I'm going to ask you? Mm-hmm. Did he mean it?
I'm going to give it to him. What? You know?
I'm giving it to him.
All right.
That's a grunt of agreement.
It wasn't very supportive.
No, I think this is intended.
Wow.
See, he's not even looking at that back post in terms of who's coming and trailing the play. He's looking to finish the play himself and does that beautifully.
And then Eto'o Fernandez.
Hey!
What's he doing?
Well, you got to commit.
Well, he did that.
He's certainly committed, Jack.
that's what I could offer you to at this point.
There's no doubt about that.
Where is he going?
Sometimes Jack? You just got to commit.
If you're going to get sent off, do it for a goal. Yes. And then there were no substitutions. Left player goes in goal, but in the end, it finishes Levante 3, Real Madrid 3. Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, what a brilliant game.
Fantastic game, man. We were a little bit worried in the first half because, you know, we were expecting a lot more from Real Madrid, a lot more from Levante. But actually, they were waiting the best for the second half, and we enjoyed very much. A lot of goals and a lot of fantastic, brilliant plays.
I think very much Vinicius Jr. has said, Luis, that's it. You're not going to start Hazard and Bale and Benzema. I deserve a place in this starting 11. A couple of lovely finishes.
Yeah, definitely. He started a little bit with doubts. A couple of tries to 1v1s didn't work, but, well, I think with that amazing touch, and I think he meant it. I think that he doesn't even look to the side.
Wow.
He has a beautiful touch. I think he's been brilliant. On here, definitely, it's not an issue that we all know. Pia can struggle so much to try to beat the keeper on 1v1. He misses so many chances inside the box. And this one looked quite cold, as we can call it. The cold blood inside the box, no rush, exactly the perfect moment to touch it. Brilliant goal. And in this one, I have to tell you that I wasn't expecting this from Vinicius. This is a brilliant touch. Beautiful, beautiful chip to the second post to score the third one, the equalizer. Fantastic. And, well, I think well-deserved. He's giving a big shout to say, listen, I want to be in the 11 starter next week.
He did everything that Eden Hazard didn't, Ali. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not the first time that this happens. You just go back to last weekend against Alaves. Couple of touches from Eden Hazard, you say, okay, maybe there's something here. But then Vinicius comes onto the field, and he's going after people. He's taking people in 1v1 situations. He's combining. He's creating chances. He's delivering an assist. And the same thing here. At the very least, what you see from Vinicius is energy, intensity. You see a guy who's proactively getting after defenders and taking chances offensively, having an impact on the game. And when you add the finishing and when you add the final touch that he showed today, then there is no question that he should be on the field.
Right.
And whoever else Ancelotti wants to take off, yeah, well, that's up to him. But if it is a comparison as to what we see on the field and the impact that players have in terms of what they do offensively in the final third, there is no comparison here. Vinicius has an impact, Hazard does not. Gareth Bale today scored a goal. Other than that, not a whole lot.
Do you agree, Luis? And when we're going forward here, as nice as Bale, Hazard and Benzema look on paper, in practice, it's just not working.
Yes, of course, it's going to be a matter of results. And today is a big, big call for the young players. Even Rodrigo, who played in the second half in the wide area on the right, he was trying to be players. He brought a little bit more intensity, a little bit more creativity. That cross, beautiful cross to Jovic, it was something else. So at the end, it's about that. Maybe Ancelotti is going to give credit because of the name, because of the history of these two players, had the background. But at the end, it's about result. And today, it didn't work for them. So I'm sure that maybe he's going to give it a few more tries. But he's going to be waiting to see, listen, if this one are not going to work, I got two fantastic players that they want to give things, that they want to try things, they're going to be ready to perform.
Credit to Levante today, Luis, because as we mentioned in the first half, they were anonymous, pretty much. Came out literally flying out the box in the second. Roger with a nice goal, and then Campagna, what a finish that is.
It was fantastic. The Campagna's goal is just amazing. I mean, to the quality, the tempo, the touch. This one we mentioned in the first during the first half. This team is based on what they do on the field, on the middle of the park, with Campagna in the middle, with Melero in the middle, then Radoja. Those are three players who can work, recover, transition, to bring the ball to those at the top, like Mati, that we've seen scoring the goal, or the Capitan Morales. Oof. This one is just a beautiful touch. A lot of problems for Real Madrid on the wide area, you could see during the whole game, because they get too narrow. The two wingers, the two fullbacks, Lucas Vázquez and Alaba, they lose the place very often. So you have to attack that. Well, then you got this one. It's been just fantastic. When you got almost ready, when Real Madrid was reacting, they got this big, big mistake in set pieces.
We saw two draws then for Real Madrid and Barcelona this weekend, Ali. Who's happier with the draw?
Barcelona.
Right.
It was a tougher matchup in the sense that you're going away to San Mamés, and how the game was progressing and how much Athletic Bilbao was controlling that match. Barcelona would be happier to get a point out of that. Real Madrid cannot be happy with what they saw today, because this game was under control. Going into halftime, things had happened the way that Real Madrid would want it to happen. The rhythm of the game, they had established it. They were controlling it. And then how quickly?
Yes.
how quickly it got out of their hands, how quickly now Levante seemed like the team more likely to score goals. That vulnerability that we saw from Real Madrid today is really concerning, and certainly how vulnerable they were not only in the back line, but how vulnerable they are in the midfield, how easily they get stretched sideways, and how many passing gaps there are that Levante was not finding in the first half that now they found in the second half. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're not getting a whole lot of help defensively from Eden Hazard, from Gareth Bale. Now that forces Isco to defend, and when he was forced to defend, well, he was not nearly as effective with the ball in his feet. And it's a domino effect where now Valverde has to cover more ground, Casemiro has to cover more ground, Lucas Vázquez gets out of position, Alaba gets out of position, and now Levante's here, we're getting behind, here's a goal, here's a ball over the top, and it's a 3v2 at the back post. How does that happen for a team of the level of Real Madrid? That's the sort of questions that Carlo Ancelotti has to answer, but the players on the field as well. If you see yourself in a 3v2 at the back post, you got to get numbers around it, right, and somehow they're unable to problem solve.
How concerning is it going forward from a Real Madrid perspective? They did look so vulnerable today at the back, Luis.
Very, very, because you never know if you lose one more player at the back who's going to play as a centre back. When you see that the connection between Militao and Nacho hasn't been very good, when you know that Lucas Vázquez is a player who always delivers, struggles sometimes with the position, yet you got Carvajal who did very well in the minutes that he played in the second half. But at the end, it's about consistency. And when you know that you're going to give so many chances, of course, Ancelotti is going to have to work a lot because you never know what kind of player you're going to have in the back. You have to try to deal now. The two main men have gone, so now you have to work on what you got. And definitely, it's not going to be easy to try because at the end, it's about confidence. Try to trust who you got next to you. And now you can see that Real Madrid doesn't have that at the back.
So, Real Madrid and Barcelona both dropping points this weekend, but for Atleti, business as usual. 1-0 win, defending champions, of course, first home game of the season, showing off the trophy. Just a one goal in this match, Xhaka. And I feel drawn to you to talk us through maybe what was going through Kiko Casillas' mind.
I do not know. I find this hard to explain. First of all, you're in the box. Why you don't go with your hands is beyond me. And then why you swing your right leg at that and not the left. Again, whee! Nothing about this just seems to add up from Casilla for me. And you pay the price. And that's the deciding goal between the two. It's
Shakastrophic is what it is.
Luis, obviously there are a lot of questions about Luis Suarez and about whether or not he could get the goals once again for Atleti that would get them over the line as he did last season. Of course, hasn't featured that much so far this campaign. Angel Correa has stepped up 3-2 now. And if Atleti are going to go on and win the title, you feel he will need to step up and continue this goal-scoring form?
Yeah, definitely. At least at the moment, until Luis Suarez starts getting goals. And I'm not worried about that because I know he will provide goals as always. And if you have seen the game today, we got another big star from the midfielder, Rodrigo De Paul, who has been delivering fantastic passes up front. So imagine being Luis Suarez and so many good players around, Correa, Carrasco, Valverde, De Paul, Joao Felix, who is still recovering from injury. You got so many players who can deliver to you with assists. So the only thing you have to do is to be Luis Suarez, wait in the inside of the box because the balls are going to arrive and are going to arrive in a fantastic form. So, yeah, of course, Correa is going to be there. Valverde is going to score goals like he did last year. He plays a little bit higher on the pitch. But at the end, the main man, the target man, the player who is going to score more goals for Atletico Madrid this year, no doubt, is going to be Luis Suarez once again.
Luis, it's the first time we've had the opportunity to discuss Barcelona's draw against Athletic Bilbao with you after, of course, all the excitement after the 4-2 victory against Real Sociedad last weekend. It was kind of a bump back to earth, wasn't it, for Ronald Koeman's side?
Yeah, exactly. And the way that we saw the first game of Barcelona, it was just fantastic. The flow of the game, the players enjoying. But it wasn't the same against Atletico Bilbao. Very tense game. A lot of pressure on Barcelona players. They couldn't even build up. They were losing the balls in the middle of the field. So no easy for Barcelona. And one of the pieces, they received the first goal. But the last 20 minutes, Atletico Bilbao struggled with the fitness. They couldn't press as much. And with the quality of the players that Barcelona has got up front, you know they're always going to have chances. this man every single time they got the ball, you know that something is going to happen. He proved a few times with a few good skills inside the box, and the moment that he got the first one inside the box, he put it in the top corner. So great result, to be honest, for Barcelona, because it's not easy to go at the stadium of San Mamés against this Atlético Bilbao and get the 3 points. So 1 point, well deserved.
Luis Garcia, as always, thank you very much. Just check out what else happened today in La Liga. Real Sociedad taking on Rayo Vallecano. Just the one goal in this game, and it would come 20 minutes into the second half from the penalty spot after the handball here. Get ready. There it is.
Might as well catch it.
Just comes out. Oh. I mean, I don't know why arms go up above the head from there, regardless of how quick it comes at you. If your arms are above your head, referee has no choice but to point to the spot.
That's it, Ali. Goodbye.
All right.
La Liga. Stream every match on ESPN Plus.
And La Liga continues on Monday. The final matches of the second round of games. Getafe against Sevilla. That's at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then Osasuna play host to Celta Vigo. Those games back-to-back on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Expecting the Hoff then, Shaka. Came. Do you want to do your Hoff impression?
No. I'm good, thank you.
Okay, let's. It was Hoffenheim against Union Berlin earlier today, 10 minutes into this one. And it would be Gieselman with a header to make it 1-0.
Header and following up for his own rebound to finish it off.
4 minutes later, Hoffenheim, though, get the equaliser. Akpuma with the header.
A really good header. This ball is just hung up, but he has to generate his own pace. Gets the direction just right as well.
15 minutes later, though, Hoffenheim take the lead for the first time on the day. It would be Brun Larsen.
Larsen with a good finish after a great ball to pick him up. Little slide rule ball into the channel. Keeper gets a little on it, but not enough.
And then 2 minutes into the second half, keeper makes the initial save. Ball's bumbling around everywhere. And Wanyi's there to make it 2-2.
For the second game, well, first of all, this is a good ball to pick him out. The keeper makes the save, isn't able to hang on, is asking for some help from his defense. It never comes, hence the frustration.
Also in action today, Bayern Munich looking for their first Bundesliga win of the season, of course, after drawing against Borussia Mönchengladbach last Friday. Nothing happened in the first half of this game. I tell you what, the second half, they would make up for it. 5 minutes into the second half, Musiala coming on as a substitute and makes this an instant impact, setting up Lewandowski.
Fantastic run by Musiala down this left-hand side. Just past defenders, and then look at the movement of Lewandowski to find a little bit of room. And when Lewandowski does that in the box, this is the result more times than not.
Yeah, very nice indeed. 8 minutes later, it's 2-0. Thomas Müller playing the ball in. It isn't cleared. Good stuff from Gnabry.
Awful defending. I'm not sure why you try to defend right foot first here. Now following in, despite the awful challenge, it does take a little deflection, which Gnabry has to adjust and does so very well.
So you thought that was it? Bish, bash, bosh, game over? No,
so.
Because just a minute later, Modeste, look at what a ball from Jonas Hector.
Great ball, great header. I'm not so sure about Süle defending, who just leaves Modeste, gets caught under the ball, thumping header from Modeste.
And then moments later, Umekano looking for the offside. It never comes. And who's there to make it 2-2?
You can tell from the time that ball hits the back of the net, Upamecano puts his hand up. He has a little look around, sees his man in behind, makes no effort to cover the ground despite his pace. That's the result.
However, Bayern would take all 3 points. The winning goal coming in the 71st minute. The keeper elects to punch. Kimmich then into Gnabry.
It's a great finish by Gnabry, but you're right to question the keeper and his decision to punch. There are no red shirts around him. Catch it. If you spill it, you pick up the rebound. Somehow it's recycled to Gnabry, and he couldn't hit that any better.
This is what Gnabry had to say after the match.
Serge Gnabry, a game with ups and downs. How would you sum it up?
I think you described it very well. A lot of ups, a couple downs. Of course, after the 2-0, we shouldn't be conceding 2 goals straight away to make life difficult for us. So yeah, if we can manage that the next time, then I think it would be an easier and a better game.
How can you explain that, the 2 goals in 2 minutes?
I think after the 2-0, we took it a bit lightly, especially after the kickoff straight away. I think no one expected a goal at the outcome. So we need to be awake the whole time in the game and not let kind of easy goals like this in, especially when we like have the ball, have possession and then lose it, to be more aggressive on defense.
Yet 2 beautiful goals. I guess 11 altogether in 8 games against Cologne. Any reason for that? Do you like them?
I can't explain it, but I'm happy about it.
All the best to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Serge Gnabry has certainly blossomed since leaving Arsenal. They're in action today against Chelsea. Romelu Lukaku making his first start since making that big money move back to Stamford Bridge and back to Chelsea from Inter. And of course, Xhaka, written in the stars, 1-0.
Of course. And this is just way too easy. You get touched out with Romelu Lukaku and he just bullies you. Onside, easy tap in.
Yeah, nice ball across, wasn't it, from Reece James, who would get on the score sheet himself with 10 minutes to go in the first half. Mount into the Englishman, brilliant.
Yeah, and Lukaku does well just to let the ball run across him into Mount. Firm ball from Mount to Reece James. Fantastic finish.
Arsenal offered very little, claims for a penalty here maybe, as James brings down Saka.
For me, I didn't think it was. Saka goes down, he certainly felt strongly about it. I didn't.
And then with 13 minutes to go, it looked like Lukaku got his second. Leno, though, with a great save.
That's a wonderful save. It really is. Probably the only person for Arsenal who has anything to be proud about on the day, Leno, just to have that onto the crossbar.
So that's 2 wins out of 2 for Chelsea, 2 defeats out of 2, meanwhile, for Arteta's side. It's Frank Leboeuf joins us now. Frank, would it be fair to say for much of this game, it was kind of men against boys?
Well, that was a great performance from Chelsea, I want to say. It was a mature performance, very solid, especially the first 40 minutes, I would say, until the penalty, or supposedly the one who should have been a penalty for me, and like Xhaka said. But overall, it was an easy performance because the differences of talent between the two teams it was quite big. So many players were missing at the Gunners' side. But overall, I would say that Chelsea did what they had to do. And it could have been even worse if Lukaku would have scored. And with some other chances that they had, they could have scored as well. So great performance. They showed to the Premier League that they're going to fight with Manchester City and maybe Liverpool and maybe Manchester United for the title. And I'm pleased with the performance because the last season wasn't that good against Arsenal because they lost the 2 games they played against them.
How would you sum up Lukaku's debut, Frank?
very solid. I was pretty surprised that he played the 90 minutes. But every time he got the ball, he created something. It was very hard for the defenders to cope with his physical aspect, and he was technically very good. He could have been served more times, you know, from his teammates. I think some of them don't really know him, and they don't know his moves, so they didn't serve him. But of course, it's a plus. Of course, he showed after like 5 minutes that he was indispensable to the Chelsea squad, and he will score many, many goals. So very promising, but I had no doubt that after what I saw last season with Inter Milan, that Lukaku is another guy. He's not the same guy we saw when he left Manchester United, or he left before Chelsea.
Horrible nightmare start to the season for Arsenal. Shaka, it's interesting. We saw the Chelsea starting 11. You look at the Arsenal starting 11. There's just a sheer lack of quality all over the pitch here.
Listen, if you look at the Chelsea starting 11, you look at the Chelsea bench, and you see the difference between these two teams. When you consider Lukaku playing his first game, many will be questioned whether he would start. But up against Holding and Paolo Mari, who was simply awful up against Romelu Lukaku, you see how good a decision it was for Tuchel to start him. But this starting 11 and these two performances that we've seen from Arsenal so far speaks to the issues that Arteta has in trying to get Arsenal back where Arsenal fans, at the very least, believe they should be. This is a squad that does not have a great starting 11, has no real depth, and yes, I know there were players out through to injury and through illness for both weeks so far. But given the start you've had against Brentford, against a good Chelsea team, you've got City to come, and then you've got a couple of winnable games. At what point do things start to turn around? At what point do Arsenal start to find confidence in performances, if not results? And right now, I'm not so sure. And two games in, who would have thought we'd be talking about Mikel Arteta already under pressure?
Frank, you were saying before you think Arsenal are going to get relegated.
Did I? I never said that.
It's worrying though, isn't it?
Crazy and that all.
Obviously, the knives are out for Arteta from some already, but this team just lacks so much.
Yes, but again, don't forget that I guess five or six players were missing today, and they would have been normally in the first 11. So it's going to change awfully something for the Gunners, but it's going to be tough. Arsenal is not Arsenal from the past, and that's it. And you have to accept the fact that the history of the club is huge, but the team that you have is not. And you're going to go through very, very dark, I would say, years, like last year or the year before when you finish eighth. And it's not where Arsenal should stand. But it is what it is. And it's decisions throughout, you know, many, many years, you know, in the past who, in fact, makes that result. And I don't expect anything. I say to you, if Arteta loses that game and loses the other game, it might be out. But I don't find any other coach who can do something better than he does, or because there is not much to do. No. You just have to consider that Arsenal cannot be in the first six spots of the Premier League because they don't have the squad for that.
Next up for Arsenal, Manchester City. Speaking of Manchester United in action today at St Mary's against Southampton. 7 minutes into this one, Lindelof with the opportunity. Oh, off the crossbar. Oh, and then off the line. What a scramble.
Yeah, the ball just seems to hit Lindelof more so than anything else. Off the underside of the crossbar. And then you just wonder if Martial was able to force it over the line. Line technology says no.
Southampton getting the opener, though. Some saying that was a foul on Bruno Fernandes in the build-up. However, not given. It's an own goal from Fred, if you take a look, Shaq, from the shot here from Che Adams.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a foul on Bruno Fernandes, and nobody closes on Che Adams well enough.
Good, though, start to the season for Mason Greenwood. That's 2-2 to make it 1-1.
And at least Paul Pogba had another assist in this one, but not a lot else you can say about him after his performances last week. Greenwood certainly has his scorer's touch.
17 minutes to go. Harry Maguire caught in possession. Saints really should have capitalised. David De Gea with a good save. Armstrong maybe should have done better.
Yes, from this kind of range, without any pressure at all, you'd expect him to beat David De Gea. David De Gea stands tall, makes a save.
That's neat, I think it agrees. It finishes then. Southampton 1, Manchester United 1. Meanwhile, Wolves in action against Spurs earlier today. Spurs, having Harry Kane on the bench, he did travel. He would come on in the second half. But the only goal of the game would come in the 8th minute as Dele Alli's brought down here.
Dele Alli does well with continuous run through midfield. Keeper commits and that's a foul, that's a penalty. I don't think there can be any question about it.
Frank says whoever wins the penalty should never take it. Dele Alli says, shut up, Frank.
Yeah, I don't think Dele Alli listened to Frank.
There you go.
Not there anyway.
1-0 into the second half we go. Traore, one-on-one. Lloris does his job.
Does really well, just stays big. Outstretched left foot, Traore should score under no pressure again.
So then, that's Daniel Levy, that's Harry Kane. One chance, actually, for the England captain. It would come the 81st minute.
Oh, sell him now.
That's it. Get rid of him.
For this kind of opportunity, you'd expect Harry Kane just to lift it, but missing match sharpness. It's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Oh, it's a bit of a tongue twister. But in the end, Spurs perfect after two games. Who needs Harry Kane? We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Meanwhile, Italy kicked off this weekend and all eyes were on Udinese against Juventus. What a game this turned out to be. It finished 2-2. Late on, it looked like substitute Cristiano Ronaldo had scored the winner. However, it was chalked off because of offside. Ronaldo, though, dominating all the headlines as there were reports that he'd asked not to start this game in search for a transfer elsewhere. Ahead of kickoff, Pavel Nedved came out and said, we must not try to create sensational stories where there aren't any. It was a decision shared with the player. At the start of the season, naturally, he is not at top fitness. The coach is trying to use the best lineup at this moment. For example, Chiellini is also on the bench today. The decisions were made to be most competitive. I can absolutely confirm Ronaldo will remain at Juventus this season. After the draw, inevitably, Allegri was asked about Ronaldo not starting. He said, Cristiano Ronaldo is fit, yes. I've talked to him before the game, telling him he would start on the bench. He made himself available. He did well when he entered the pitch. Oh, to try and break down this ongoing soap opera, we welcome in Gab Marcotti and Alessandro Del Piero is with us. Ali, let's start with you. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. It was a big surprise at the beginning of the game, to be honest. After the game, not at all, because Allegri is very good to handle this kind of situation. You know, it seems really relaxed in front of the camera and say, well, yeah, I want to use it from the bench. That's it. That's it. And this is what happened. And to be honest, Ronaldo also scored a goal at the last minute, but was offside. So he didn't. He did what he used to do, you know, scoring goals. It's not a big deal now, but create a couple of question marks. For sure, Juve wanted to stay with Ronaldo and Ronaldo as well, but maybe an eye on the market for both of them still open.
Yeah, Gab, of course, the market's still open until the start of September. Where do you think this could play out? How is this going to affect Ronaldo going forward? And will he be in a Juventus shirt come September?
Well, look, first and foremost, I don't think you make decisions like this on the day, right? So if they had decided together it was a shared decision that he wouldn't start, the obvious thing to do and to avoid all controversy is to brief the media on Friday, hey, look, Cristiano's going to be on the bench, just like they said Federico Chiesa is going to be on the bench, for example. Beyond that, like this ties back to the Chiringuito story. I read a column about it this week. And the situation Juventus have right now vis-a-vis Cristiano. He is costing them a ton of money in wages and amortization. It's close to $100 million this season between the two of them. And so I think they're happy to keep him, but equally they know that they probably can't afford to extend his contract and he becomes a free agent in June. So inevitably, this creates this impasse. The problem with somebody else going in and signing him is that if you sign Cristiano Ronaldo, it's like signing a company. These are very complicated matters, all sorts of commercial deals and so on. Plus, Cristiano has to want to leave, right? He's got to want to go to a big stage. It's not clear that he necessarily wants to leave either. So it's a messy situation. I think the latest rumor that you're going to hear, and I'm making a bold prediction about the Spanish press, is that Kylian Mbappe is going to leave to go to Madrid, and he's going to replace him, and then we're going to have the Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Neymar frontline, and the whole world, and all our minds are all going to explode with so much hype in one place. Okay, that's a joke. I don't know. Anything can happen.
Too late,
Stranger Gap. Things
I've already
happened,
tweeted
right?
it. It's out there. Marcotti confirms Ronaldo to PSG. Gab, just on that point, okay, just say that Ronaldo wants to leave. Juve happy, as you say, to get him off his books. Where could he go? You mentioned, are we in what, PSG, Manchester City? Is that it? Like, where else?
I mean, look, even if Ronaldo takes a pay cut, there's still going to be very few places that can afford him. You saw what Carlo Ancelotti said after the El Chiringuito report. I don't see how he could possibly go back on that. I think it would be very difficult unless it was a club choice. And it's without considering the fact that Cristiano would likely have to take a pay cut as well. Paris Saint-Germain, you're always going to be linked. But equally, you know, that's got to be contingent on Mbappe leaving this transfer window. And again, I think that's highly unlikely. Inevitably, he's going to be linked. I think you're going to see reports in Italy linking him to Manchester City if they don't get Harry Kane. But again, Cristiano Ronaldo to Manchester City right now from a football perspective, I think makes zero sense for Manchester City. But when you look around Europe, when you ask yourself who can afford a player of this magnitude and his wages, there really aren't very, very many clubs. So do you make a romantic choice and go back to Sporting Lisbon? Do you do something like that? I don't know. But what we know so far, though, and I think this is important, it's been widely reported that Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't formally made any moves or requested a move, and also that his teammates are under the impression that he's staying. And I think that's an important part of the equation here. I think if somebody goes and tries to get Cristiano, it's one thing. But I don't think Cristiano is going to, you know, look around Europe and say, hey, who wants to sign me? I don't think he's in a position or in a mindset to do that. And if he stays at Juve, I think he's happy.
How much, Ali, is this a headache for Allegri?
For Allegri, kind of zero. He's a guy that, you know, nothing can bother him in any case. He has a beautiful mind in terms of how to deal with these things. And what happened today is the proof that he has is smart, because he knows that he can handle it. But he also knows that, say, on Friday, Cristiano is not going to play, we create 2 days of headache for the rest of the world.
Right.
And this is, he doesn't want to do that. But in his mind, in his projection, and in his way to do things, nothing changed for Allegri. This is one of the best qualities that he has from my point of view.
Do you think, Ali, Ronaldo is comfortable in this position, not being the main man, not being the main starter, if indeed this sets the tone for the rest of the season?
I think that Ronaldo's still Ronaldo. It doesn't matter. If he accepts a couple of benches during the year, I think it's going to be good for him in terms of recovery sometimes, not play all the games, because you need, and he needs himself 100% for the game that is the game with the big G, the game that you need to win, that you need to score, that you need to go through. For example, Champions League, we're talking about Champions League, of course, and the big game is against Inter, against Milan, against Roma. So having, you know, some kind of break during the year is not a big deal, especially at that age, even though Ronaldo is amazing shape, as always. But it would be good for him if he's going to accept this kind of situation.
Any chance he could leave, Ali, in your opinion?
I said everything can happen. Of course, an eye on the market is still open. But from my point of view, no. You will say clearly that he's going to stay. Ronaldo doesn't have any kind of nervous situation during the training or between players or even behind the scene. So I don't think he's going to leave.
One man who is probably happy with all this Ronaldo story, Ali, is a certain Juventus goalkeeper. Certainly had an absolute shocker today in that 2-2 draw. Not many people focusing on that because they're talking about Ronaldo. But overall, what a game to start the season.
Oh, yeah, it's unlucky moment. You know, Szczesny demonstrated during this period in Juve a great effort, great result on the field, great presence, you know, great personality as well. This is going to be one of the time that happened things like this. Next time he's going to know that maybe throw that ball on the stand was the best solution from the beginning. But it happened. It cost 2 points of Juve because the game was close anyway. Juve is not still on the best performance from my point of view, but shows how good they can be, and this is the depends a lot of how Allegri managed the team in terms of motivation. The transition from last year to this year is not happened fully, so it takes maybe 2 or 3 games again to see one of the best Juve on the tournament.
So a draw for Juventus to kick off their campaign. Meanwhile, Jose Mourinho starting his tenure as coach of Roma with a nice win, Gab.
Yeah, an impressive win. And also had a tremendous debut for Tammy Abraham as well. Now, there was a lot of incident and controversy in this game. There was one red card per side. Drągowski, the Fiorentina keeper, getting sent off. That made things easier. But then, of course, Zaniolo getting sent off for Roma as well. Tammy Abraham, 2 assists. A tremendous debut. Mkhitaryan as well. Talk about letting bygones be bygones, getting on the score sheet. And really the kind of morale-boosting win that with Mourinho getting off on the right foot that Roma fans were looking for.
Speaking of morale-boosting wins, Ali, of course, it's been doom and gloom, hasn't it? All around Inter, the fact that obviously Conte has gone, Hakimi's gone, and Lukaku left as well. Yet they kick off the defence their title with a nice 4-0 win yesterday.
Yes, perfect game. A lot of opportunities. To be honest, Genoa wasn't the best shape. And facilitate a little bit from my point of view, Inter, let's say like this. But they play well. They play with joy. They play fast. They have a different solution. So nothing seems changed that much from last year in terms of mentality. Every time that they score a goal, everybody were happy. And this is a good sign. And starting with the 4-0, the first game at home, it's perfect. So let's see how they're going to manage a tough moment during the season. But till now, they're doing a good job. Also because we need to consider what happened during the market and still going on during the market because they're still looking for a striker.
Alessandro Del Piero, as always, those pictures, I imagine they're very expensive behind you. We don't have time to talk about art because we've got to talk about Serie A results from the weekend. Atalanta kicking off their campaign with a 2-1 victory away against Roma. Napoli, meanwhile, with a 2-0 home victories. Monday, we'll see Cagliari take on Spezia, and it's Sampdoria against Milan.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Frank and Gab back along with Shaka to answer your tweets. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, everyone, for your correspondence. And thanks for everyone who's reached out to ask if we survived the hurricane. Frank, you put out an Instagram message wishing us well. Frank, why did you tag Clint Eastwood as well?
because he's an American hero and a strong guy, so obviously it's to give you power also and help to that problem, you know. And I think it's a beautiful painting that I have at home, and I say, well, it's going to be nice for kind of, you know, behind me.
Yeah.
And voila. Are you okay, guys? Are you okay, by the way?
Yes.
Because you didn't answer my lovely message.
Well, do you know, I think the reason we're fine is because of Clint Eastwood. I think he very much diverted the hurricane, and we managed to survive, and we're all okay. Meanwhile, Gab's here as well. Gab, you need your haircut. What's going on?
Look, I came back from holiday. I will be visiting my local Armenian barber and proper barber shop with a pole, and I'll be getting my hair cut soon.
Perfect.
You'll be pleased to know.
Stevie says, two on the sides, three on top. That's the normal. It's a good look.
Okay.
Is the Manchester City game next week a can't-lose game for Arteta, Shaq?
I'm not sure how they're going to win it. Is it a challenge?
Yeah.
I don't think it comes down. I don't think it comes down to the City game. They have the following two games, who I can't remember. Right.
Good. Jack.
Yeah.
You're looking at me as if you expect.
I'm looking for some kind of help here, but I'm getting none. So not the City game, but the next two. If they don't take 6 points from that next two, I'm not sure how you make an argument for Arteta.
Speaking of making an argument, if you get rid of Arteta, Gab, how do you make an argument for a top manager to take over at Arsenal?
Money.
Well, yeah, all right, Shank.
Well, look, it's still Arsenal. There's still a lot of prestige. There's still a lot of young players there. I think a lot of people, there's a lot of visibility. I think what would be very difficult at that stage is if you're looking for a name brand manager, you know, if you want somebody like, say, Antonio Conte, for example, to come in, then I think it's going to be very, very difficult because he's going to demand more spending, and you may have a word with the people who've been doing the recruiting, starting from Edu, the people who thought it'd be such a clever idea to extend Alba's contract, to not sort out Lacazette, to give Willian the massive deal that they did give him. So I think, look, if Arteta were to go, Arteta can't be the scapegoat for everything. I think the ownership might look at it and, if Arteta goes, say, all right, let's also take a look at what's happened upstairs as well, rather than just dumping it all on the manager, because otherwise we're going to run into some of the same issues.
They've got Norwich and Burnley.
Yep, told you.
Next, Shaq.
Told you we're winnable games.
This is from Ginger Messi, who I think I may have some little bit of an anti-Ronaldo agenda. What's more embarrassing, Szczesny's performance today or taking your shirt off in a last-minute goal celebration then having the goal taken off, Gab?
Oh, that's...
Well, look, I mean, it was so close.
Yeah.
This is what kind of really bugs me, right? It's not Cristiano Ronaldo's fault the goal was chalked off. It was chalked off because players are on the pitch, people are moving, different things are happening, and he happened to be off by, what, 1/8 of an inch? It was a correct call, but it was very, very close. So he obviously didn't realize that, and he took his shirt off. There's nothing embarrassing with that, not when you have those washboard abs, of course.
No, exactly.
And, I think, look, in absolutely. And he knew
I'd take it off if I want to throw it.
Right
on anyway.
Hey, I have a question about that.
Well,
by
maybe
the
that's
way.
More to your taste, but
Dan, I have a question.
Yes, Frank.
Did he get a yellow card for taking his shirt off on top of not having the goal?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did, Frank.
You get a, Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, good for you.
Yep.
Well done.
Very
well
naughty. Done. Very naughty indeed. Sorry, Gab, we went on a bit of a six-pack tangent. I'm sorry, Frank didn't get his out to show his. He does that and any excuse on Instagram as well.
Oh, but could I get a yellow card if I put my shirt off?
You'll just get the plug pulled, I think, on your feed. Gab, just going back to what you were saying about Szczęsny.
About Szczęsny?
Wait, are you going to make a point about Szczęsny?
No, look, he had a bad performance. It's been a rough 6 months for him. But I think I'm with Allegri on this one. And I think you start getting some of the differences between Allegri and Pirlo. Allegri says, look, when you're a goalkeeper and you're in that situation, you can't concede goals like that.
Right.
I'm fine with players making mistakes, but in that situation, you just boot the ball as far away out of the stadium as possible and just keep it simple that way. And, you know, other managers might be like, oh no, you must retain possession, try to play out from the back, whatever else. And I mean, you can see there is a new sheriff in town when it comes to that sort of thing. Risk management.
Clint Eastwood's back.
I'm still waiting for the explanation for that.
It's Frank.
Okay.
That's explanation right. You need.
Moving on.
If Kane, Shaka ends up...
Come on. It's Inspector Harry. He's going to save the world.
Right,
he's
going
to save Connecticut.
Yeah, he's going to save Connecticut. If Kane ends up staying at Spurs, will he still receive the same respect from his teammates and fans, Shaka? Or will this transfer saga leave a mark on his career?
It won't. It won't change anything as far as his teammates go.
No.
What the fans think is, well, I can't
fans
speak for them.
If he bangs in 30 goals this season.
I think they'll be all right. But yeah. I can say, certainly within the dressing room,
no,
nothing's going to change.
No one minds?
No.
Gab, any chance Ronaldo joins Spurs?
It's funny you should mention, because...
Oh.
No, because that is one of the things that has actually been speculated upon in the media. Obviously, Juventus's director of football, Fabio Paratici, was at Juve before. He signed Juve before, and so the thinking was, he signed Ronaldo before. So the thinking was, well, if Kane goes, then all of a sudden they can spend their money on Cristiano. I think that's highly, highly unlikely. That said, you know, Nuno is now in charge, which kind of makes Spurs a George Mendes club. And, you know, Cristiano's a George Mendes agent, or George Mendes client. I don't know. I would bet it wouldn't be quite as mind-blowing as Cristiano joining Messi and Neymar in Paris, but that'd still be pretty darn mind-blowing.
What's more likely, PSG or Spurs, Gab?
West Ham.
I think they're both remote possibilities. But, no, I'll tell you what, if Kane goes, I would assume that Spurs would be, and Ronaldo is determined to leave, I would presume Spurs would be perhaps in some way slightly more viable. But look, equally though, Cristiano wants Champions League football. And, you know,
Spurs fans are getting excited then, Gab.
Won't be doing that for a while.
Just teasing them.
I know.
Frank,
sorry to knock you back.
Where do you see Mbappe playing in the 2022-23 season, PSG or Real Madrid? What is the most likely to happen? Frank, of course, new BFF now with Mbappe.
I saw that.
That selfie with him.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because I took one picture with him. I'm his BFF, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works.
I took 100 pictures with you. I took 100 pictures with Dan. I still hate him. So you know, one picture with Mbappe doesn't make me his BFF, you know. Whatever. You know, I think if Paris Saint-Germain win the Champions League, and Real Madrid has an awful season in Champions League, but also in Liga, I don't see Mbappe moving. But if Real Madrid does well, Paris Saint-Germain doesn't win the Champions League, I see Mbappe going to Real Madrid. That's what I think.
Final question, and it's a controversial one.
Oh.
Strap yourselves in, especially Gab.
Ooh.
I just wanted to get Gab's reaction to this. I had a pizza this week. It was deep dish with anchovies and pineapple.
Oh no, that's Hawaiian. This, I mean.
You know what? I've become very, very zen about this, okay? I am not from Naples. Pizza is not my birthright. It's not part of my culture. I do not get offended. I find it frankly disgusting that you would have a deep dish pizza with pineapple and anchovy together. It's not even a viable combination.
That zen is going quickly.
And I find that you are a sad, disturbed person.
Wow.
But that said,
zen.
Do whatever you like. Gab, put dog turds on your pizza.
The definition
if you like.
Of zen is very
dinner.
Different.
I don't care.
Oh my goodness. So what's worse, Gab? A well-done steak, pineapple on pizza, or ordering lasagna at an Italian restaurant?
That's a very good question.
I know you too well.
You do. I mean, for me and what my culinary heritage is, the one that I find most offensive is the steak. Because of where I'm from. Some restaurants do make lasagna. I think if you go to a restaurant and you just order it because, oh, look, I like having these at home, like, I think you're, you know, whatever. Of the three, the one that would upset me most is having a well-done steak if it is a very nice piece of meat. The other ones, I just kind of pity you a little bit.
Frank, what's worse, pineapple on pizza or shorts in a restaurant?
Oh my God. No, steal your shorts. My dear Dan, steal your shorts, you know? The pineapple, I can put them to the bin, you know, but your shorts, I can't do anything for you.
No. That's why you took 100 pictures of my legs. I don't know why you need to do that. That is it. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. What a day we've had right across the board. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Of course, be sure to join us there. Keep your tweets coming in at ESPNFC.